Now, before I go into what I've been doing with this medical thing here, I'd just like to take a moment to, you know, notify you that I just got a letter tonight from Jeffrey Aubrey, the chairman of the Committee on Corrections. He's assemblyman in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote me, and he says, "I'm writing in response to Susan's typographed letter regarding your inadequate medical treatment." And he says, "The department, in accordance with the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, HIPAA, requires that you sign the enclosed medical authorization in order to provide information to my office regarding your medical history condition. Please sign and return the enclosed medical authorization form, 2 pages. If it is determined that it is possible for us to assist you in some manner, you will receive another letter describing the actions taken on your behalf. In the interim, if you have not already done so, you should consider using the grievance process regarding this matter. You may also wish to contact the office of the Inspector General, Building 2, State Office Campus, Albany, New York. Thank you for your inquiry, Jeffrey Aubrey, Chairman, Committee on Corrections."
So where would you say the struggle is right now? Where is it at in terms of what people need to do? Is this this form that you said that senator was asking you to fill out, what does that mean?
At this point in time, as you know, I wrote a letter up, you know, asking for assistance addressed to Charles Barron, Councilman Charles Barron. And from that letter, you know, things moved directly outward from there. Since that time, I filed for, under the FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, I filed for, you know, medical records pertaining to October, from October 2003 to February 2004, which would account for those 10 times that I passed out. I wanted the medical records and treatment recommendations so that I could have this on file and say this is what they did. They didn't really talk to me, but when I appeared, you know, this is what they did. Just recently, say perhaps no more than a week ago, I received the medical records, and they entailed 4 pages. 4 pages for 4 incidents, and that's it. There were no other records of me passing out. Or if they were, they just never recorded it. They didn't do anything about it. They gave me the treatment and medication treatment and dosage records, which carried from October 2003 to February 16, 2004, which dealt with specifically every day that I received insulin and every evening I received insulin. Even these records were hastily put together. Usually, when I appear in the hospital in the evening time for insulin, they initial that date and the time and the amount of insulin that I was taking. And these particular charts is just one little line going right across with just one signature at the end of that line, which means to me that they just put this last few together. They just, you know, one or two, they had all the initials in it for each day, but nothing else. Nothing other than that he got insulin injections here, here, and here. Anyway, after I had the medical records, and I realized the medical records were not complete. These documents were incomplete. I sought to obtain log books because every time that I had an insulin attack, I was in the block. I left from the block on a stretcher and arrived at the hospital. So, knowing that the log books inside in the blocks that I was housed in would have to have an unusual incident report, the passing out, the transferring of the stretcher, for all of these incidents and times, I sent a letter to the inmate records coordinator, Miss Debbie Jarvis, and asked her to release these papers to me as soon as possible. That I had funds on record, you know, and that I could pay for any copies, it was no problem, but I wanted copies from October to February. I'm in the process of waiting on that. In the interim of that, I received a letter from Lester Wright. Dr. Lester Wright, who is the chief medical director of all facilities and all hospitals and facilities in the state of New York. Dr. Lester Wright, in behalf of letters written to, he was asked by Commissioner Glenn Gore to respond to 2 letters that he named, 2 people in the letter who had written inquiring about my conditions and my health and what could be done about it. In the letter, we had asked for, you know, to be transferred to certain facilities for medical treatment that I wasn't receiving here, and the problem that had been incurred thus far before we had known anything about the lack of inadequate medical record-keeping documentation in conjunction with the inadequate medical treatment. Dr. Wright wrote and told me that, you know, he said where I was at in Clinton Correctional Facility, they have a very superior medical facility that is adequately, you know, geared on meeting all of my needs for, you know, medical treatment. And then he left it at that. He went on to say that after reviewing my medical records, he discovered that the facility medical director saw me on March 10th and was probably going to see me in the very near future. The medical director being Dr. Lee, whom, you know, we back in 2001 tried to have ourselves removed from because that we weren't getting medical treatment from. We filed grievances. We did a lot of things exercising New York State Patients' Bill of Rights, trying to have a second opinion because it was questionable then about the medical treatment I was receiving then. And it just was just denied. So by him saying the facility director, medical director, without naming who he's talking about, we know to be Dr. Lee. Anyway, March 10th, I went to see Dr. Lee after the accumulation of so many community letters coming in to Commissioner Glenn Gord, and Glenn Gord writing to Lester Wright, and then Lester Wright taking this initiative to talk to Dr. Lee. Dr. Lee called me down to his office on March 10th. Now, my last episode of a blackout was February 16th. Dr. Lee, without examining me or, you know, extracting any blood for analysis or anything like that, he just sat me down and he says, listen, I was just looking in your records, and I see right here that you're taking metformin, an oral tablet form of insulin for coverage, and you're also taking insulin injections twice a day. He said, that's much too much insulin. It's probably why you know, been falling out all these times. He said, this is crazy. Who prescribed this for you and when? I referred to the fact that he himself had prescribed this medication, if I was not mistaken, in 2001. And every 30 days since then, he has refilled that prescription. So in my, you know, understanding, he was expressing that he had been over-prescribing medication for me, and now that it needed to be stopped immediately. This medication he had prescribed for me, this metformin, was 850 milligrams that he had me taking. So I was taking 1,700 milligrams of this medication per day, every day, for the past 3 years. On top of that, I was getting insulin injections at 5 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the evening. He now suspects that that's too much insulin and has caused the blackouts. He felt assured because from February to the present, I had no more blackouts. He did inquire why or what might have been the cause for me not having blackouts, and I could have really readily told him that it's because I've gone to the other extreme, from too low blood sugars to too high blood sugars. I realized that my sugars were dropping so low and so rapidly without any warning that I was passing out and just was in limbo by the time somebody discovered and ran me to the hospital. So it got to the point when I felt the least little twinge, or I had the least little doubt. For instance, if I woke up 2-3 o'clock in the morning and could not readily say this is why I woke up, there was some noise walking by or somebody's making noise upstairs or somewhere in the area, I just woke up, I felt it was my body telling me, giving me warning signals that something was about to occur, that I would get up and begin to eat. And that was my process from this point on. I don't waste any time now, and I do so because I'm very, very afraid of these blackouts. I don't know what occurs while I'm out, what they do to me, you know, what happens to me in the course of that, and I just don't want to put myself in that kind of position. He didn't question anything. He just gave me that information and set me on my merry way. So I don't know why I've been blacking out. They say it might be it's too much insulin. I don't know. I don't know what consequences I've suffered for having taken all of this extra insulin or having an overdose of insulin that's caused all these low sugar episodes. I don't know what damage it did internally or what damages might unfold down the line. It's just that none of these things are being looked into, and now I discover there's not even any record keeping of these incidents.
Should people still be sending in letters to the prison authorities asking for your asking that you be transferred as your earlier instructions?
I think so, up until the point that I finished completing this fact sheet, because I want to answer Dr. Wright's letter by giving him a chronological report of the facts that have occurred. I do not wish for Dr. Wright to write these letters up and pretend that he's accomplished something. He's really done something that is significant in terms of, you know, adequate medical care. When in fact he's conceding a little bit in appearance of conceding a lot. When in all actuality there's nothing. I've been overprescribed for medication and I've also received inadequate medical treatment. On top of that, there is no documentation. Even when I passed out and had this total with this medical attention, the only option open to me is to be removed from this facility. It's already documented that the medical records do not exist. I'm moving now to gain records from the block on the same issue. Now, if these records don't come out, then I'm going to use this information and put this information out there, and then at that point, I think people can make a healthy choice about should we change up now. You know, at this point in time, we should mention this, and this, that we're aware of this, and this is no longer hidden, and that you should know this. And that being that, you know, you're the overseer of the medical records and personnel in these facilities, then you could easily check on this and discover that there are no documentations, or when he gets the log books, the indications in the log book, then the indications are here. So the medical department is really, really negligent in its malpractice, and then we can take it to the next level. I'm merely waiting for medical records now, and it's been about 3 days since I spoke to them. So perhaps Monday, Tuesday, the latest, I'll write them again and tell them that, you know, in accordance with, you know, correctional law, if you have not received a reply in 5 business days, you can safely assume that your request has been denied and you can pursue it at the next level. I think at that time, I'm going to get in touch with the Inspector General and explain my plight and then file a formal grievance specifying that, you know, these denials are not only life-threatening, but they violate every tenet of constitutionality that a prisoner is allowed and granted at the behest of what these people want to do. And then I'm going to start to try to open an investigation up into the death of Noel Washington, as well as Teddy Jaheed, to ascertain if this information was known and not revealed, or that both of them having passed away with cancer, when was it known? And prior to it being known that they had cancer, what was the diagnosis? I know for a fact for Jar, they told Jar he was having stomach ulcers. He had stomach ulcers. That was all that was keeping him constipated and stomach pains for 2 years. When he finally was told that he actually had cancer, he was dead in 30 days. So, I mean, we need a real congressional investigation, and not only here, but on as far as the United Nations if possible, so that we can expose the genocide, you know, and corrupt, you know, anti-dissident methods and mannerisms that are being imposed on people across the state of the United States, because I'm sure this is not the only place that this is occurring. Wherever they find dissidency, they have means in which to quell it, by just allowing people to pass and then say, well, he died of natural causes and no one injected him with any kind of poison or anything else. So, to reiterate, I would ask people to continue to write the letters, yes, beautiful, but be aware that we're moving on to the next stage. If this problem is not resolved on one level, we're willing and able to go to the next level, which would be a civil action lawsuit, and we already have somebody in the wings ready to do that. But we're beginning to get responses from not only community people but congressional people as well. So we're expecting something to occur. We can't say when, but I think we really need to keep up the pressure.